All right, welcome into the bullpen here on Aggie Radio. It is Friday, which is always exciting because then it means I get to actually sleep in tomorrow. But of course, that also means I'm probably going to be staying up way too late. I'm excited that it's Friday, but at the same time, yeah, it's like I don't really actually get anything out of like the extra time that I have to sleep because I stay up late even later. But maybe tonight I will curb it and go to bed at like 1 or 2. Because I don't have to get up until like 11.
Early to bed, early to rise.
Late to bed, late to rise makes me very, very wise.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm already bad during the week with bedtime, so I'm even worse on the weekends anyway.
I stay up so late. Like, last night I stayed up too late. But last night wasn't as bad as 2 nights ago. 2 nights ago I only slept like 4.5 or 5 hours because of how late I stayed up. Because that was real smart. But then last night I went to bed at like 1:30. So not great, but not as bad.
Yeah, see, I'm all right with really late bedtimes as long as I get enough hours. Like, that's my thing, is the hours.
Yeah, unfortunately, I still have to get up. Like, I had to get up to come do this, and so, I mean, I couldn't sleep in longer. But yeah, so I'm really bright when it comes to that kind of thing. That's funny, there was one of my cousins, she took the quote from Benjamin Franklin, it's like, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Yeah.
And she switched it a little bit, and she said, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and great. It's like, it doesn't rhyme. You're blowing this.
It's free-form poetry. It doesn't have to rhyme.
Awesome. Well, I mean, it's been a crazy week. A lot has gone on, particularly with the NBA. Well, mostly with the NBA.
Yeah.
Because it's NBA free agency, and it's just been absolutely nuts.
It's been crazy.
I feel like, didn't we talk? No, that was on show on Monday. I think they started doing the contracts like Saturday or something, right?
Hmm.
Like all these contracts started coming out.
Yeah.
These are ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah, but I didn't hear about, I don't know, just like,
I don't think we talked about it last Friday.
No, we didn't talk about it last Friday.
Yeah, but
I think some people didn't even sign until a couple of days ago either.
Well, they couldn't sign until yesterday. Okay. Like, yeah, legally they couldn't sign. They could have the agreement in place, but they couldn't officially sign with teams until yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's when the first official signings happened, and then teams could start making jerseys because the person was officially part of their team. Because you didn't want a whole DeAndre Jordan situation like last year, where he agreed to go to the Mavericks, and then later on he decided, he was going to stay with the Clippers. And part of me was hoping that would happen with someone this year. Yeah. But I'm going to
get
to that.
I think a lot of people thought that. Yeah. I don't know. We'll get to that person, but they did start printing the jerseys, so it's too far now.
Yeah, it's already official. But we're just going to go right into our wall of shame right now.
Yeah.
And both of ours come from the NBA free agency.
An exciting time where we just trash every team for taking somebody else's players.
Well, I mean, most of the time it doesn't like bother me. There's only a couple things that really bother me about it, and I mean, we're gonna dive into it right now. But
this year is pretty ripe for Wall of Shame.
Yeah, I want you to throw yours out first.
Yeah, this one first Wall of Shame goes out to the Miami Heat organization, just for the way the whole Dwayne Wade parting happened. Apparently, he was feeling disrespected by the organization and feeling underappreciated.
Absolutely.
And to even let that happen to the face of your organization for 14 years, I think is just, I don't know, that was just a really crappy way for that to end.
And the thing is he has never been the highest paid player on their team.
Yeah.
I mean, I found that out this week. I thought that he had been for at least part of the time, but, he took pay cuts a couple times to get other guys there. You know, he's brought the city 3 championships. I mean, he had a lot of help on the second two, but
seems like just a really great team player, real classy guy. I mean, you never really see him in the news for the wrong reasons. And
no, yeah, he's a really good guy, and he's done so much for them.
Yeah, and so to let that happen the way it did, I mean, after 14 years, yeah, he might have been leaving, you know, just because sometimes that happens. But
well, that was just because of how they were, like, treating him with it, because,
yeah,
I mean, he took a pay cut so LeBron and Chris Bosh could go there. He took a pay cut to try to convince LeBron to stay. LeBron obviously went back to Cleveland. But, so, I mean, this entire time he hasn't been the highest paid player. And then they go out and give max money to Hassan Whiteside, who is a good, solid young guy. But he's not anywhere near as good as Dwayne Wade is at this point. And he's not – he doesn't mean as much to the team as Dwayne Wade does. Obviously, he's going to be a big part of their team going forward. But, I mean, it's just –
but still, though.
They prioritized him and some other guys over Dwayne Wade, who has been their face of their franchise for so long.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm totally with you on the wall of shame thing.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, if he had to go, then, I don't know, they could have at least tried to make it less of an awkward parting. So.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing about it is, like, he wasn't trying to, I mean, I don't think he wanted to go initially. But then, like, they prioritize these other guys, and they're trying to get Durant to go in instead of, like, trying to pay him. And so, basically, they were giving him the finger, more or less. And so that he didn't help at all with Durant, because it's like, you guys don't care about me. Why am I going to try to convince Durant to come play here? You're not respecting me at all.
Well, I think they took him for granted.
I mean, they did.
You said, all the pay cuts. They thought they must have just assumed he was going to keep doing that forever and never, you know. And then he's like, okay, well, I think I've given a lot to this organization. I want a little bit back. And, you know, they just took him for granted, I think.
Yeah, they definitely did. And, I mean, the thing about it is he's given up over $25 million over the years to allow them to have more flexibility signing people. And you know, at a certain point, you got to, you know, say, okay, we're going to reward you for your loyalty and for your help to help us get those championships. But I mean, they haven't.
Yeah.
They didn't want to reward that. I mean, the guy is still one of the top players in the league.
Oh yeah. He's still great. Even after 14 years.
He might not have, like, you know, five years left. I mean, he might only have like three really good years.
Yeah. And I think he's down a little bit in his points per game, but he's still great.
It went back up last year, and I mean, part of the problem before was that he was with LeBron, and then he had some injury issues, but he was pretty healthy last year, and I mean, he's one of the top players in the league, and you're going to just not show any respect like that and just assume he's going to sign for you on the cheap. They were trying to give him $10 million.
Yeah.
And that's still a lot of money for irregular people. But when you put that in perspective, you have someone like Timofey Mozgov on the Lakers. They gave $16 million a year over 4 years. I mean, and he hasn't done anything. He was riding the bench on the Cavs.
Yeah.
And there's, like, all that kind of money going around everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, like, a thing where it's just like, yeah, I mean, we just don't think your production's going to be very good over the next few years, so we're going to give you less money. But, I mean, they're giving them way less money than people who are, like, backups are getting this year.
Well, not even that, but it's like they let the Miami Heat organization let themselves get outbid for their franchise player. Like, the Bulls were willing to put up more money than the Heat. And so I think that, too, is just like you let yourself get outbid by another team for the face of your franchise. And it wasn't even that much more either. It was from what I looked at.
Well, I mean, they finally were like, okay, we'll give you 2 years, $40 million, so $20 million a year. But he wanted 25 of the year.
Yeah.
I think
the Bulls got close to that. I don't know
exactly what they got, but
I don't think they went that high.
I don't know if they were able. Close. I mean, they're working on, like, clearing cap space to sign him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they have officially done it yet. I don't think he's officially signed with them.
Yeah, I think it was just under $47 million. So they got closer. I don't think it was 50. I don't think they went that high, but
But either way, I mean,
to, yeah.
But it's a little bit different because Miami did have the space. They prioritized other people, and this is like something that's happened to Wade his entire career. Like I said, he has not been their highest paid player ever.
Yeah.
And he's been their best player almost every year. I mean, he's been, with the exception of the 4 years when LeBron was there, he's been the best player, and even he's been a top three player in the league for most of his career. And I mean, even when LeBron was there, at times like he played a lot better than LeBron did, but he was getting paid less because he took a pay cut so that they could get LeBron there and Chris Bosh.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the team leader you want. I mean, the guy, you know, solid performer on the court, doesn't really get into trouble off the court. I mean, that's the guy you want to be on a team with. So,
yeah, and it's like Miami was a long shot to get Kevin Durant anyway, and I mean, then they don't get him, and they have this space that they were going to use to sign Durant. I mean, obviously they have to make some trades to free up some space, but why not do that for Wade? I mean, obviously you might pay him a little bit less than you would Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant's getting like, I don't know, $27 million a year, and you could don't even have to free up quite as much space, but I mean, pay the man.
Yeah.
And like I was thinking to myself, you know, if they're not gonna pony up, like he will go somewhere else. I mean, he, as much as he is a fixture in Miami and was for the longest time, you know, he still wants to be respected, and you know, he wants to be treated as if he's important, because he is. I mean, he's one of the top players still. And he was not treated that way at all, and it's pretty sad in my mind.
So,
and so definitely, Miami Heat organization, you get to go on the wall of shame, and I wish upon you 5 years of bad luck. As far as winning, I mean, I don't want like injuries or anything like that, but winning.
But they don't deserve, after letting that happen, they don't deserve a trophy or of any kind or winning.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna be just sit around and mediocrity the next couple of years, because I mean, really,
there
are two guys
that
they've maxed out are Hassan Whiteside and Chris Bosh, who are both great pieces, but they are not like leading guys. I mean, not championship caliber. Obviously, Chris Bosh, before he went to the Heat in Toronto, he was the leading guy, but he's not good enough by himself to like propel them to a championship, and neither is Hassan Whiteside. So They give up a chance to be something really special, and I mean, it's on them.
Or at least contenders, you know.
Yeah.
At the very least, just even trying to contend.
I mean, at this point, I mean, before that, I would say that they were one of the top three teams in the East, probably two or three. I mean, obviously the Cavs are still number one.
Yeah, I think so.
But at this point, they're going to be like a 5, 6, or 7, maybe even an 8, because I mean, the Eastern Conference is weak, but they're going to be down there in kind of the whole, we're making it to the playoffs, but we're not going to do anything when we get there.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not going to.
Yeah, and my entry into the Wall of Shame also comes from free agency, and I'm pretty sure anyone could figure it out that has paid any attention to it. But the Wall of Shame entry for this week for me is Kevin Durant. Not because he left Oklahoma City, though, but because he went to, Golden State. I have no problem whatsoever with Kevin Durant feeling like he wants to leave Oklahoma City, because, you know, he's been there for 9 years and they haven't ever been able to quite win. They've always come up short. I
think it's like 4 Western Conference Finals that they've
something like that. They made it to 1 NBA Finals too and lost against the Heat, but they got pounded in that one. That was the first championship out of the back to back that they won with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. But I mean, they were up 3-1 to the Warriors, and they gave it away, gave up 3 games in a row, just like the Warriors did to the Cavs, which is ironic because I mean that never happens. but 2 times in a row. But I mean, you were up. You had 3 games that you just had to win 1 out of the 3 because you guys had done such a good job. And you come up short, and rather than, you know, getting more resolve and say, you know, I'm going to get you next year, he goes and joins them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like I said, I would be fine with him leaving just about anywhere but there, because for me, Kevin Durant is the second best player in the league behind LeBron James. Some people want to put Steph Curry up there, but he's not the best. He's not the second best player or the best player. I'm not sure that he's. He's probably top five, but he's not one or two. I mean, those guys are one and two, and he goes. And as a person who's the number two guy in the league, you know, he's obviously a superstar and kind of one of those once in a generation talents. But he's going somewhere where they've already proven that they can win a championship with what they've already had. They almost won it again this year. Obviously, that didn't work out for them, which I'm happy about. But as one of the top players, like, why would you go to a team where winning the championship isn't going to be a thing where it's like, yeah, Kevin Durant going there helped them win championship. I mean, obviously he's going to contribute. They were already contenders, though,
so it's not like it was a challenge.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to be a challenge for him.
At this point, I feel like him going there makes him a bandwagon player. It's like, oh well, they're in prime position to win a ring without me, so I'm going to go and win a ring. I mean, it makes them really, really hard to beat. I was talking about this on a show on Monday, but I think that. Tuesday. I think that him going there, I mean, it's not really going to help his legacy at all. And, like, he's going to be the best player on their team, but that's not going to be his team, and that's not going to be his city. And I think it was a bad move. I mean, he's probably going to win a championship. I think that they will have struggles in the postseason based on the way that they play, because I think the Spurs and a couple other teams might be able to, and even the Cavs, and if they make it to the finals, like, are going to do kind of what the Cavs did in the last three games of this series this year. I mean, they're going to be able to find those places where, I mean, they, like, make them uncomfortable on offense and give them struggles. They're going to win a lot of regular season games, maybe even more than they did this year.
Yeah.
Very possible.
It's like he's just swooping in.
Yeah.
To an already made team that.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with like a veteran who's only got like a couple years left, and he's not in his prime anymore, and he's just more of a role player going onto these teams like a Ray Allen or players like that. I mean, I understand when they want to go somewhere and win a championship, but Kevin Durant he's only halfway through his career, honestly. I mean, he's been in the league 9 years, I believe, and he probably has that many more to go. And so, I mean, it's not like he just wants to get a ring before he retires, but he's got a long time. And so, I mean, being there, he probably will be able to get a ring. But wouldn't it be interesting if he ends up, like, not re-signing with them after next year if they win and then goes back to Oklahoma City?
I don't think he'd get a great reception back for that.
They would welcome him back. I mean, they would still be a little bit hurt and maybe distrustful of him, but they would definitely be like, okay, you can come back. You can come back.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think he will. Yeah. I just think it would be funny.
Yeah, but it's like Oklahoma City wasn't hopeless. I mean,
they weren't.
They were
right on the cusp.
And probably could have won. I mean, by the way they played, they just hadn't collapsed to Golden State. I mean, but I don't know. It's just like they're not hopeless, so.
Yeah, they're not, and
I mean, it's tougher now that he's gone. I mean,
but it'll be a lot tougher. But I don't think they're gonna fall off as much as everyone seems to think they will, because obviously he's a huge piece, and it's gonna cost them. But I think that's just gonna give Russell Westbrook time or like the opportunity to shine even more, and he's the guy in Oklahoma City, and he won't sign an extension right now. But I think part of that is because I think he wants to wait for the cap to jump up again next year and get more money. I mean, maybe he's planning on leaving. Maybe he's not. I can't say because I don't know what's going through his mind. But some people are like, oh, he doesn't want to sign an extension, which means he's going to leave next year. That doesn't mean that. I mean, he probably wants to wait and see how this season goes because he doesn't want to sign in long term if all of a sudden like this team is going to go to crap because Durant's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But I think that he's just going to be he's going to push hard and become either number three or number two in the league on as far as a player goes, because at times he's already done that, but a lot of times he has to defer to Durant because of how good Durant is.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I couldn't believe that Durant wouldn't go back to Oklahoma City, because I felt like they were in a great position to go back and make it to the championship this next year, because they traded Ibaka and they straight up fleeced the Orlando Magic in getting Victor Oladipo, who that suddenly gives them another scoring option in the backcourt. And they still had their frontcourt players who were doing a decent job. And they also were adding on Sabonis, who's a good player with lots of experience in college. It's not like they have to take him as one of those projects that come in as a freshman that are just uber athletic and talented, but they don't really know what to do with it yet. He was one of those players, I think he was a senior that, or he was a junior, but they get them and then also another decent veteran and Ersan Ilyasova, who can contribute off the bench. And so, I mean, they did this great trade. They got more pieces for him. And so, I mean, I was like, after that, I was like, I don't think Durant would leave. But he did, obviously. But they still have all those pieces in place. So I still think that they're going to be able to compete. I don't know that they'll be able to contend for the championship this year, because, I mean, the Spurs and the Warriors are both going to be really tough to beat. Yeah. Especially without Durant. But I still think that they're going to be up there. But another team to look out for is the Jazz. The Jazz are going to be really good next year, I think. Because, I mean, on top of the young players that they've had for a while that have done just a really good job, when they're healthy, they're one of the top teams in the West, like number four or five or three sometimes. And I think that they have the chance to get up there to one of those spots, like three or four, this next year, because they not only do they have those guys coming back, but they also added some really good veterans that are going to be, you know, really huge for leadership. And also they're going to be able to contribute because they got George Hill, who he's had experience winning a lot with San Antonio. He was on them for a while, and then he was traded to the Pacers in the deal that allowed the Spurs to draft Kawhi Leonard, who obviously is kind of their guy now. And then also they got Joe Johnson, who was really, really good for a really long time in Atlanta, and he still should do a pretty decent job. He's not as good as he was then, but he's going to be able to knock down a lot of shots, and he's got that veteran leadership that can come in and help some of these young players, because they were a really young team. I mean, before this offseason, they were probably the second or third youngest team in the league as far as, like, average age. Obviously, the Sixers are the youngest, because I don't think they have anyone who's not on a rookie contract. They did just sign a couple of guys, but I think that's the first guys who aren't on a rookie contract. I might be exaggerating, but they're a very young team. But the Jazz, they've done an excellent job this offseason in positioning themselves to make a run at one of those, you know, home court advantages in the West. I mean, because if you're 1-4, you get to host the first series, so 4 out of the 7 games are going to be at your building as opposed to 3. And so that's going to be huge, because it's obviously Salt Lake City has a good, you know, home court advantage because of the fans. But I would really look out for the Jazz next year, especially with Oklahoma City losing Durant. They might have struggles because they're not sure how to play without him. And so they might slip up and fall down to like a 6 or a 7. And that leaves the door open for the Jazz to jump up, especially if they can stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a lot of good players on their team right now.
Yeah, have they just been missing some
they've had injuries.
Players or
they haven't really had veteran players the last year. I mean, their like leadership, their veteran presence is Gordon Hayward, who's still really young. Yeah. I mean, obviously he's been in the league for a few years, but I mean, he also has been a part of a lot of teams that have struggled to win. And it's not any slight on him, I'm not saying that, but I mean, at some point, like, it becomes almost like your culture to not have that winning mentality. But you bring in two guys who know how to win that are veteran presences, they're going to help realize, all right, guys, we lost this game tonight, but it's okay because we did these things well, and we just have to do a little bit better on these things, and we're going to win the next game.
Okay.
And they're gonna be able to help them deal with, you know, the problems with losses. Because some teams, like, if you're a young squad and you're in the NBA and, like, all you do is lose, like, that's all you know. Obviously, I mean, they haven't done terrible. They almost made it to the playoffs this last year. But I think it's going to help them a little bit. Plus, they're good, solid players that can both shoot the ball and both contribute on offense and defense. So I think they were great moves by the Jazz. They got Boris Diaw as well, another guy that knows how to win and a veteran presence. He only has like a year or so left that he's going to be able to play, I think. But, you know, he's a big guy. He was on the Spurs when they won their last championship. He's a big part of that. He's also French, so he's going to be able to talk to Gobert in French. They're both in the game and, like, talk to each other in French on the block, and everyone's going to be like, oh, I don't know what they're saying. So, I mean, that's a little bit thing. I don't know how much that will really help them, but, I mean, it could.
Yeah.
It could help out a little bit. But, yeah, so, I mean, the Jazz, I think, are going to be pretty good this year. So look out for that.
Yeah.
They're not going to contend for the championship yet, but I think that they're making steps towards that.
At least if they make themselves look like a more attractive team to play at. So later on down, if they have to work the free agency, they can say, hey, we're on the upswing and all we need is a few more pieces together.
I mean, imagine this. just indulge me for a second here in this.
Yeah.
What if next year, like, they do really good job, but, I mean, obviously they're still lacking that star player, and Russell Westbrook decides he wants to go and sign with them next year, during the offseason.
That'd be sweet.
And they get Russell Westbrook on top of everyone. They could potentially contend for the championship.
Cinderella story, maybe.
Potentially. I mean, it all depends on how guys develop this next year. And it's probably a long shot because I don't know that Russell Westbrook wants to come live in Utah, but I mean, it would be like if they have a lot of really good pieces, but not really a superstar and someone wants to go in there and be the superstar, like that could be an attractive place because really, I mean, it's gone beyond the whole thing that used to be the case for free agency where you just kind of go for a big market where you can have all the glamour of being in a big city and all the endorsement deals and stuff like that. And now a lot of guys, they want to win.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and maybe Russell Westbrook wants to go play for San Antonio next year so that he can beat Durant and Golden State. Maybe he goes to the Eastern Conference and wants to compete with LeBron. I mean, maybe he stays in Oklahoma City. It depends on how their season goes, I think. But I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility for him to go to the Jazz, especially since they play them four times a year because they're in the same division. And so, I mean, if he sees enough out of the team, be like, hey, I want to be there next year, like, because they are on the brink of being something really special, and I can be the leader for that. And so, I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, this is... At this point, it's 50-50 because, I mean, he could or he couldn't.
Yeah.
Maybe at the end of the year, it's less of a chance because of other options. But just saying, you know, wouldn't that be cool?
If they got him, that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, but, I mean, how ridiculous has NBA free agency been?
It's been crazy.
I mean, they're throwing around all kinds of money.
Although I will
everywhere.
Say though, although I will say though, I think the Bulls letting Derrick Rose go is a good move.
Yeah, yeah.
I think finally. I mean, he's a good player if he can just not be injured. But I think
he's got those injury problems.
And yeah, and they just waited so long for him to come back.
But then, and at the same time, like if the problem that they didn't want to have was, and this is part of why they moved him, is because like let's say this year he's healthy and he has another really good year. Well, suddenly they're going to have to pay him like that max contract. Yeah. And the salary cap is jumping up again next year. So he'll probably want like a 5-year max deal.
Yeah.
And you can do that off of 1 year of being healthy and having like being good again. Yeah, but it's like a huge risk and they didn't want to have to be responsible to be like, yeah, we're going to make sure that we sign you because you had one good year.
Yeah.
And that's what I think they were worried about that, and so they decided to not do it.
Well, yeah, it just they waited so long, too. It was years of him either getting half a season or out a season.
I don't think he's played even half of a season for like 4 years.
Yeah, it was just basically it was like just way too long. So good move on the Bulls and good move signing Dwayne Wade. So I think the Bulls overall.
No, the Bulls did a good job because, I mean, they're not going to have to rebuild.
Yeah.
Because they were able to add pieces, then it's going to make it so they don't have to rebuild. And with the East being what it is, I mean, they might be able to compete for, the Eastern Conference Finals and make it to the NBA Finals potentially. But, I mean, they've got a lot of work to do to get there, but they're at least in a position where it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I think that they did a pretty good job. The Knicks actually surprisingly did a decent job.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
Because, I mean, I still don't think they're going to contend. I mean, if they added Wade, they might be able to, but they didn't. But they've got a few good players now that they're going to be able to do a lot with when they added Joakim Noah and Rose. Who both, this all depends on their health, really. If they can be healthy, it's going to be a tough team to go against in the East. Like, they're going to be one of the top teams in the East. But obviously, if those two guys can't stay healthy, which they haven't been able to recently, then they're going to be they're still going to be better off than they were. But they just won't be quite as good as maybe you want to be. So I think they did a decent job as well. But I want to go over some of these, crazy deals that have like happened for as far as people getting money. Here's one that is just, this is actually a decent deal, like probably a really good deal for the Rockets. They signed Nene Hilario, to 1 year, $2.9 million deal. Which is really small compared to everything else. And so, let's see if I can find one right here. So, that one's another one that's decent. I just want to get one of these just ridiculous ones because there were a lot of them. Okay, so Harrison Barnes, good solid player. He was on the Warriors. He's being replaced by Durant, so obviously they're not really losing out so much. I mean, I guess they haven't. I don't know that he's officially signed yet because I think the Warriors might have like a day still to match it, but they're not going to because they don't have money for it. But anyway, he's being offered 4 years, $94 million.
Jeez.
And that's, he's not even like one of the top players on his team. Like, I think he started some of the time, or maybe a lot of the time. Yeah. But he did a good job. He's a good player. But he wasn't...
$90 million over 4 years.
$94 million.
$94 million over 4 years. That's
over $20 million a year. And he's not what I think of as a max player. He's a good player, and he's going to be good for them, I think.
Yeah, but
he'll be able to shine a little bit more because he doesn't have to be in the shadow of Steph Curry and... Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. And but he gets over $20 million
that,
a year.
Not that much money for him, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the kind of deal that's been going on all this time. And so, yeah, he's going to the Mavericks. There's no way that the Warriors are going to match it, so that's pretty much a done deal. If they weren't able to get Durant, they probably would have matched it. But, yeah. Let's see. Where's another one? Alan Crabb, who you don't even know anything about, right?
Never heard of the guy.
Yeah, I don't even think he's a starter, but he was on the Portland Trailblazers. So, but the Brooklyn Nets signed him to an offer sheet. He's a restricted free agent, so Portland could match it if they wanted, but they give him 4 years, $75 million.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I had never even heard of the guy until today.
Yeah.
74 million.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I know about him because I follow the NBA pretty closely, and also I play NBA 2K games, but, I mean, I don't even think he starts for them. I mean, I could be wrong. If Logan Jones is listening, text me and let me know and if he is a starter or not. But, or was, I guess he won't be anymore. But then you've got, it's not a bad deal. Some of these are actually decent deals, but there's some like right at the beginning, which one of them I mentioned, Timofey Mozgov. Like he got $72 million or something. It was ridiculous. It was 16 or it was $18 million a year for Timofey Mozgov. He couldn't get off the bench during the playoffs. But yeah, the Lakers are going to be like, yeah, let's give him $18 million a year.
It's the rebuilding Lakers, so I mean, yeah, is anything at this point not to be.
I mean, it's true. The way they did. I mean, they signed Luol Deng for 4 years, $72 million. So
they just really just at least don't want to finish at the bottom.
You know, with Luol Deng, I mean, he's actually a player that, you know, is a good player. He's a lot better than Timofey Mozgov. He's a little bit older, and so I guess that factors into it. But yeah, Lakers were just desperate to be a little bit better.
Just not be the basement dwellers this time.
Yeah. And okay, let's see. Okay, Bismack Biyombo.
Okay.
Who didn't do much of anything until last year, and he wasn't like great or anything. He's just solid player down low. He gets 4 years, $70 million.
Man.
And Ryan Anderson signed for $20 million a year over 4 years. 4 years, $80 million. So I mean they're just throwing around money in this free agency because the cap has jumped a bunch and so the max contracts go up, and in order to get people, I mean that's the thing about free agency, it's like it's not really about how much you're worth, it's about how much like leverage you have, because all these guys are like, well, I could go over, they're talking to these people, you're offering me this, well, I could go sign for this much over here, and most of the time they'll bring it up, because, I mean, they have the max where you can't go above it, but a lot of them are getting max deals.
Well, it's a crazy free agency, because not only is there just ridiculous amounts of money, but it's like all these superstars moving around now. Like all these great players just switching teams.
So, I mean, but even these guys aren't like.
Well, yeah, great these guys players. Aren't great players.
They're good players, but they're not great players.
Yeah, but it's like just in general, the whole year of free agency has just been crazy.
Yeah, and then there's freaking Tyler Johnson. Okay, Tyler Johnson gets 4 years, $50 million, and this guy on the Heat last year averaged 8.7 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. And he's getting over $10 million a year.
It's like they don't care about their money anymore. They're just like,
right? I mean,
whatever, take it, you know?
Like, he gets $12.5 million a year.
Well, it's just going down this list. It's like all these players, some of whom might not even have been starters, or at least if they were, just not super productive. And then
yeah, I mean, so money. Alan Crabb, the guy that I was talking about, he only averaged 10 points a game last year and 2.7 rebounds, 1.2 assists. I mean, what?
I think the league has just gone crazy. I think
$75 million yeah. to score 10 points a game. Can I get that? I mean, I will even I'll ride the pine for $1 million a year, which like the minimum salary that you can get, I think, is $1 million, or at least it was. Like that's the veteran minimum. I would go. I would gladly sit and ride the bench in a suit because they weren't actually going to put me in, just filling up a roster spot for $1 million. I would totally do it. I mean, I could help out in practice.
Yeah, I think somebody could just come off the street and score at least 2 or 4 points.
Right?
With some lucky shots. It's like you make 10 a game. I don't know. I just think the league has lost its mind. I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, it's just because they're making so much money off of like the new television deal that they got. They're making so much money. That they're getting a bunch of that revenue, and so I mean, you're gonna just give it all to the owners. That's not fair because the players are the ones who are performing, and so the players are getting more. But like the jump up, I just don't.
Well, for some of the players on the list, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I feel like, unfortunately, like the value is based off of, you know, them wanting to get a player. Despite the fact they know he's not worth the money they're going to give him, but they need to get the player in order to, you know, make their team a little bit better. But they're trapped doing it, and it's great for the players because they get lots of money. But then at the same time, you know, it sucks for the teams. They have to pay all this money to guys who are subpar. That's ridiculous. There's been a ton of people switching teams this year. And this is an interesting thing that I just want to touch on briefly before we jump into MLB. It's just like in the NFL, like the way that it's set up, I don't think there are max salaries that you can do. But like you have to earn the money or whatever. Like they're not as desperate to get people. Because they can find someone who can be almost as good for less money. And so I think the NFL, at least, like, it balances out a lot better than the NBA's does. But with the NBA, there's just so few players. I mean, with the NFL, it's like a guy wants to get overpaid. They're like, I'll go find someone else who can do it. Because, I mean, there's not as many. I mean, there's a lot more positions. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more players that are just waiting in free agency that will do as good of a job or almost as good, but they won't demand as much money. And so,
well, then it's like with competitiveness. I mean, now that we've got a team like Golden State that just ate up Kevin Durant.
Yeah. They might not be able to keep everyone at next year.
True. But it's like, we've got these, I don't know. It's a super team, I guess is.
Yeah, it is.
And so it's just, I don't know. I just wonder if there's a competitiveness concern. If they're just not really going to have that many rivals.
Well, I mean, it'll balance itself out, I think. The Warriors just really benefited from timing because the cap jumped up and they don't have to re-sign Steph Curry yet until next year. But, like, they had the money to sign Durant. And so now, like, this year is, like, their golden year. Next year they might not be able to keep all four of those guys there. Because of the salary cap not jumping enough to compensate for what they're going to have to pay Steph Curry. Because, I mean, that's Steph Curry's town. That's his team. Like, I don't see a scenario in which he doesn't stay there, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so in my mind, the NFL salary cap issue, like, works out a lot better than the NBA one. Players don't really get overpaid as much. Because there's like, yeah, I mean, I can find someone else to fill your spot. And so guys switch teams. Also, it makes it more competitive because, you know, they can't just like pay, they don't have money to pay someone a max contract. For example, like a few players on the Broncos went and signed somewhere else for a lot more money, because the other teams had space because, you know, they didn't have all the contracts of the really good players because, you know, they were losing.
Yeah, well, I think it's similar with the MLB. where it's like not only are there, you know, rosters are big, but also they've got minor leagues that they can call somebody up.
Yeah.
So it's like if someone's not performing, usually they don't really need to waste money on it.
Well, I mean, and
because they've got somebody they can just call up a younger player from, you know, AAA or just play somebody else. So I think the principle is the same over in the MLB as well.
Yeah, to me though, there's no cap in MLB, is there?
Not anymore, no.
Yeah, because I mean they can pay as much as they want to people, and so really, I mean, you could sign anywhere if an owner has, you know, the desire to sign someone that, you know, wants a lot of money. I mean, if they want to, they can.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that's another interesting aspect of baseball. But like, even with that, you know, there's still a decent amount of like uncertainty to who's the best team.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Cubs have the highest salary. Like a couple of years ago, the Dodgers had the highest salary, but they weren't able to win it all. Well, yeah, anything.
And the Royals were a small market team.
Yeah.
Definitely not the highest salaries, and you know they did well. Yeah, I don't know. I just wonder if sports with either big rosters like the NFL or minor league systems like, I mean, hockey has a salary cap, so I guess they probably might not fit into this, but like the major leagues who've got minor leagues and just players on reserve, you know, they don't have to wait around, you know, and just pay a few players great amounts of money. But,
So do want to transition into MLB because you had some stuff you wanted to talk about with them.
Yeah, just a little bit. So they announced rosters a couple days ago, I think. And I guess the biggest
story...
For
the story, All-Star game, right?
Yeah, for the All-Star game. And I guess biggest story coming out, the entire Cubs... Cubs got like 7 players into the All-Star game, including their entire infield. And so... And which I think had only been done by the 63 Cardinals when they had their entire infield in. And so obviously Cubs won big. Although, I don't know, with the way they're playing, I'm just starting to doubt that, you know. I mean, the Cubs aren't terrible, but just the way they're playing to have all of their infield in.
I feel like it's kind of the same thing as last year with the Royals, where they had a lot of steam from people – voting for them a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So it's probably a similar thing to that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not deserving of it. I don't know. But
they're good, but not lately.
But this is the issue
they're
of...
just collapsing. Yeah, it's the fan voting thing.
I can't stand the fan voting.
Yeah, so it's just like... So, I mean, but although the National League does look really great this year. I mean, you've got Buster Posey and catching and the Cubs infield and Bryce Harper. And so just looking at it compared to the American League, I think the National League will probably win this one. Because, a couple of Royals for the AL... Mike Trout, David Ortiz as designated hitter, which I guess they're using that, even though it's in San Diego, which is weird. But just looking at that, I really think that, you know, the National League is probably going to win the home field advantage for this World Series. Just roster to roster, I just think they're better.
So it is kind of cool that there's something that is behind the All-Star game that makes it so you want to win.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like you should reward the team that won the most games in the regular season.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Well, yeah, especially I think I saw some statistic where it's whichever league wins the All-Star game and therefore the home field advantage, the pennant winner from that league has a statistically higher chance of winning the World Series and the team without it. So I think it does, you know, it's more than just getting your home field advantage. It's like teams tend to win, based on what league
wins
the All-Star game. So.
Yeah, and so, I mean, for me, it is cool that the All-Star game means something and makes them want to try to win. But at the same time, like, let's say the Cubs have the best record and they make it to the World Series, but the American League won the All-Star game and there's like a wild card team managed to make it to the championship and they get home field advantage over a team that had the best record in the MLB. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, I think it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, but I mean I wish they could find something else that could make it worth it.
Yeah, but I think it is interesting, though, getting... there's at least stakes in it. I mean, yeah, maybe it should go to the highest, the most winningest team, but I mean, having stakes on it, I think, does make it really interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely, but I feel like I think they should make something else be the stakes, because, like I'm saying, like, I don't think that that's fair to the team that...
Yeah.
Went out and won the most, you know?
Yeah. Although I think it, at least though, for the team that gets the highest, or I guess the most wins in the league, they'll at least through the divisional and the pennant, they at least get home field advantage. I mean, there's at least a way for them to still, have a good shot at making the World Series, even with it. But yeah, just, but I really think the NL is going to win this year. I mean, just lineup for lineup, just a stronger team than what the American League has. And so I definitely think they can pull out a win. But
and so that'd be huge for whichever team represents the National League and in the World Series, if they do win the game. Obviously, still have to play the game.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Cubs, though, probably a lot of fan voting, but still, good infield. I don't know what's happening now to them after sweeps and not winning series, but at least they're still a good team. But yeah, to have other players, too, like Buster Posey and Bryce Harper, just a much better.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. We're out of time. Got to go up and do some SOAR. But yeah, so if you didn't, you know, if this wasn't conveyed, I guess I'll just say it. NBA free agency is kind of ridiculous as far as the money that they're throwing out to people. Not happy with Kevin Durant deciding to go to Golden State. Feel like he could have gone anywhere else and, you know, added to his legacy, but just not in Golden State where they already have won with the group that they have. I really hope that they fail next year and that he goes somewhere else because they can't afford to sign him and Curry. So yeah, anyway, that's kind of what I got. Also MLB, if you like MLB, and let us know if you think we're right about the National League winning the World Series. It's too early for that. Win the All-Star game.
Yeah.
If you want, you can tweet us the show at USU Bullpen. You can tweet us about anything you want us to include next time. But yeah, I want to thank everyone for listening.